Well, we're turning again tonight for the second week in a row to the parable of the prodigal son or the lost son. My title tonight is Angry at God's Mercy. We read in verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in. This is a parable with unparalleled insights and lessons for each one of us. Don't often quote Charles Dickens, but he said that this was the greatest short story ever written, and it truly is a wonderful narrative. And every phrase, every verse has so very much for us here. Well, we thought last week of the disastrous decision of the younger son to go into the far country. And soon it ended in disaster, as he spent all in riotous living. But tonight I want to consider the older son, the one who thought that he'd broken none of his father's commandments. He doesn't say God's commandments, but he says his father's commandments. And yet, as we shall see, deep within his heart, there was evil and malice and bitterness and resentment, perhaps unparalleled in Scripture. We see within this outwardly moral and upright man such a vile heart. We shall open this up before ourselves tonight. Well, as I said last week, we are pictured either as the younger or the older brother. Which one are you? I think tonight we have many that have been used to going to church, to chapel, to Sunday school for many years, and perhaps there are fewer prodigals here, and there are more elder brothers. There are more whose life is more accurately allegorized by the older brother that never seemed to go away. They never left home. They never packed their bags. They never rebelled, outwardly at least. Maybe tonight we have more older brothers. I don't mean your age relative to your siblings, but the description of you is more like the older brother. Outwardly moral, upright, but yet within the heart there is such evil, as we shall see. This elder son that we shall look at tonight. You know, the word of God is like a mirror. When we look into this parable, we see ourselves. I see myself in both the sons. I don't know where you will see yourself tonight. We pray that in the mirror of God's word, you will look carefully and honestly, and see your own heart tonight. Well, we go back to the beginning of the chapter again to understand the context. The Lord Jesus is speaking to Pharisees. He's speaking to those who are kicking against his love of sinners, his love of outcasts, his love of the down and outs of his time. The Lord Jesus receives sinners. He welcomes them. He eats with them. He sits down with them. And this is what the Pharisees hated. And in this elder son, the Lord Jesus is so evidently speaking to the Pharisees. But in his grace and mercy, he tells a story about 100 sheep. He tells a story about 10 coins. 100 for one. 10 for one. And as the focus is coming even sharper, his final parable is about 2 to 1. And the gaze and the focus of the Lord Jesus is upon these self-righteous Pharisees who thought they'd kept all of God's laws, who'd never rebelled. And they looked down and, as it were, spat and cursed at these sinners that Christ sat down with. We here see the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is for all, especially those that feel their need. And so the parable is given, narrowing down to the audience that he was really wanting to speak to, which was the publicans, or rather the Pharisees and the scribes, as it's mentioned in verse 2. Well, we come to look at that. We note the Lord Jesus met with people where he found them. He didn't look at the outside. That's what we do so often. We look at people and we see what they're wearing. We see what car they drive, where they live. We identify people by who they're related to. But the Lord Jesus doesn't do that. He meets people where he finds them, regardless of background, ethnicity, track record, or history. You see, we tend to have this wrong view. We tend to think of big sins and little sins. We tend to think the big sins are the things we do with our hands and with our bodies. But you know, with the Lord, it's the heart sin that really offends. It's the heart that's really against God. And so whilst it seems that the younger son, in going into the far country and wasting his substance, we look at him and see the wild life that he lived for those months, really the Lord Jesus is saying, don't be fooled. The heart hates God. The heart is at enmity with God. And that outwardly moral person that has a hatred for their own brother and wishes that he had stayed in that far country, oh, the Lord sees that, and the Lord knows that. Well, we pick up the parable in verse 25. The elder son is a farmer, it seems. He's in the field, he's working away, and we must acknowledge that he worked hard. It seems from his own testimony that he was a hard and faithful worker. And that's a good thing. There's no harm in that. But he comes over the hill and he hears something and he sees something. And you can almost feel his blood pressure boiling. His heart beats a bit quicker. What's this? What's this commotion? What's going on in my home? What's happening here? Things about around here have been a bit glum recently in the last few months. My father doesn't look quite the same. His face is somewhat drawn. There doesn't seem to be much music and joy in our home. How can there possibly be music and joy now? And he comes and it says he drew near. He didn't get to the house. He stood some distance off, but he could hear the music, the dancing. I don't think we can read from this parable that dancing is a good thing. Don't go down that direction. There was dancing. It was celebration of some sort going on. It doesn't describe how. It probably wasn't sensual. No, there was gladness and joy. And you know, even that got to him. Someone else happy? And not me? Someone else enjoying themselves and I've not been invited. I didn't get the invitation and the ticket to this one. What's this all about? And his heart is beating. You can almost see his blood boiling. Something inside him. Others having fun, but not me. So he calls one of the servants. His house evidently had many servants. And he calls the servant and says, what's this all going on? I didn't know anything about this. I didn't hear that there was a plan. I didn't see any preparations. What's going on? In those months, while his brother had been apart, sure many thoughts crossed his mind. Sure, he thought to himself, that waster, that good-for-nothing brother, I always knew he'd turn out like that. Always knew that he had within him the capacity to destroy, to damage. Never did a decent day's work, not like me. You know, the sort that looks at others and thinks, why aren't they doing the dishes? I'm doing the dishes. I'm doing the cleaning. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. He obviously looked down at his brother. He's taken everything. He's taken what was really for me. I'm the older brother. I had the inheritance. It was due for me. And he's taken it. I hope he never comes back. I'm sure we can read that into the parable. Well, the nearer he gets to home, things become clear. Verse 27. Thy brother is come. Oh dear. That boy is back. That one that I wanted to see the back of forever. That one that in my heart I wished he was dead. Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Shouldn't there be joy? One who was as good as dead, one who perhaps the record had been crossed out in the family album, he's back, and he's safe and sound. There's no harm come to him. Isn't this a reason for rejoicing? But the brother becomes angry. Verse 28. And he was angry. Angry. The welling up of sin. I know my own heart. I know the temptation to anger so often. Why do we get angry? We see injustice and we get angry. We think to ourselves, we deserve better. And others deserve worse. They deserve to be punished. They deserve to be struck out. They deserve never to come home, never to have love, never to be clothed again. And he was angry. He stands back. What's all this noise, this commotion, this party? And he would not go in. I find those words very challenging. He would not go in. There is such joy and happiness inside because his father's there. And all his father's worries have been lifted. And he has such joy. What will the father do? The father had already gone out to meet the younger brother. What does he do the second time? He goes out to meet the older brother a second time. The first time, he'd obviously been looking and longing. The second time, perhaps through the corner of his eye, through the window, he'd seen a one-man protest outside, a one-man picket. One brother on strike, won't join in. I don't know whether you've ever been like that in a family gathering. Maybe the relatives have come and you don't like it. Something's not to your taste. You don't like it. Nobody told you. It wasn't scheduled. Somebody's arrived at the house and it wasn't planned and you don't like it. So you won't go in. You won't join in. He was angry. Anger. God hates anger. Anger is kicking against God. Anger is saying it's not fair. It's not right. That younger brother, he's got far more than he deserved. Anger. If he had gone in, he'd have to accept his brother. He'd have to look at him. Look him in the eye. He'd have to welcome him. He'd have to acknowledge him. Just think of those Pharisees that are listening on to this parable. And they're beginning to see that the Lord Jesus is describing them. They were angry with the Lord Jesus at this time. They wanted to take him and to kill him. The Lord Jesus patiently has bidden his time before he turns his gaze at them. Anger. They were angry with him. But the brother was angry at his father. We look at our own lives and we think, well, we've never done that. We've never gone away. We've done everything the right way. We're the good child. We're the older brother, so to speak. We're not the one that let mum and dad down at school. We never took the car and wrote it off. We're not the ones that came back very late on a Saturday night when we shouldn't have been out. No, by comparison, our life was so much better on every level, and yet somebody within the family has had blessing that we've not had. We begin to feel it. Do you know what matters most is not the fact that we have brothers or sisters that have done seemingly worse than us. The fact is we're all sinners. And the more I look at the older brother, the more I see my own heart and see the capacity for evil. The capacity within this older brother. You can almost see the commandments broken one after the other. He didn't honour his father. He wanted his brother dead, I'm sure. He was jealous. You see, one after the other, those heart sins, the sins that God sees, that no one else sees. He wouldn't run away. But you know, the fact that he'd had an outwardly moral life was not his doing. This was the mercy of God. When we've had a good upbringing and we've had everything and we've not had those wild weeks or wild years, and you've not become addicted to the poisons of this world, that's not down to you. That's the Lord's mercy, that you've been kept from addiction. You've been kept from the accident and emergency department of life, because God has been gracious to you. It should be a cause of thankfulness, not bitterness. Not resentment at somebody else's good fortune and blessing. Well, let's look at three brief sentences that perhaps describe this man. He had a decision he was unwilling to take. He was unwilling to go in. Is there somebody tonight? And you're outside. You won't go in to be with your father and your family. You know you ought to. You know it would be the right thing to do. You know that this source of joy is because one who was dead is alive. One who was far is near. But you're still on the outside, unwilling to make a decision. I don't mean a decision in that you choose Christ. None can choose Christ. He chooses us. But you're not doing what you know you ought to do, going to your Heavenly Father, accepting His wisdom and receiving those that the Lord receives, sinners. A decision he was unwilling to take. Oh, how sad. What a picture. To see him on the hillside, looking in, sulking, grieving, coveting, wishing it was me that had the fatted calf. But this is the God of second and third chances. This is the God that always forgives and receives the wayward. This is the one that did sit down with the publicans and the sinners. Was his attitude right? It was wrong on every level. To stay outside? To be an outsider, not an insider? But he couldn't bring himself to it. It was pride. It was jealousy. He thought his brother had blown it. And he's given another chance. Well, secondly, there's a sympathy that he would not bring himself to give. He looks at his brother. He thinks, that's it. There shouldn't be sympathy for those that can't help themselves, those that don't do a decent day's work, those that don't keep outwardly the moral laws that God has given us. No sympathy. Just irrational pride. His arrogance got the better of him. He thought he was the good one. He was the one that deserved. But you see what this parable is really about? Is saying that there are none righteous. No, not one. Whether your sin is seen by others or whether your sin is within and possibly worse, it's offensive to God. God sees it and knows it. And God reads your heart. The bitterness. God hates a bitter heart. He hates a heart that wants revenge for what somebody else has done. Christ's answer is the complete opposite, pictured in the Father. Compassion, kindness, mercy, love. Oh, tonight, don't stay outside. Don't be unsympathetic to those who've been changed and converted as though you had wanted a testimony like them. Sometimes I remember this as a teenager. If only I could have a Saul of Tarsus testimony. If only I could be the one that stood up at the front of the church and told the people that I was once a three-time murderer. But you're a many time more murderer than that. And as was this older brother. Don't be fooled by the outward. This older brother had a debt that he couldn't pay. And so we see a third thing. We see a grace that he did not accept he had need of. And yet the grace of the Father comes out. Verse 28. The Father comes out and entreated him. That's grace, isn't it? This older brother that didn't deserve for the Father to leave the banquet, the party, didn't deserve to catch his eye, and yet the Father sees all his children, sees the wandering sheep, sees the lost of Israel, and sees the older brother. And he goes out to him. What's he going to say? Pull yourself together. Stop being so sulky. Take that horrible look off your face. No, he doesn't do that. Just says he entreats him. He pleads with him. He says, this is a time for rejoicing. One who was lost has been found. One who was dead is alive. You've been with me all these years and you'll still be with me. I'm here for you. Look at the response. Verse 29. You see the pride within his heart. Lo, these many years do I serve thee. The word serve there is interesting. It doesn't mean doing a hard, honest day's work. It means I was a slave to you. That was his attitude to his father. When he worked for his father, it wasn't gladly. He did it as a slave. He was not happy with this way that he had. He felt he should have had everything, and now his brother's taken half. Oh, what sadness there is for the father to hear these words. Lo, these many years I served thee, and I did not transgress your law at any time. His view of himself is so distorted. His father could see him. The servants could see him. And of course, God sees what we can't see. Others can see the sulking face. They can see the incommunication in our hearts. This man standing there, I've kept all your laws. Oh, he had. He'd worked hard. He'd gone to the fields, I'm sure. He was a good farmer. But look what was in his heart. Against God. And against God's laws. And he has the temerity to say to his father, you didn't give me. You didn't give me a party. You didn't let me have a rave in your house, that I might make merry with my friends. But that brother that I hate, that I detest, look what you've done for him. You've done nothing for me. Is that true? No, the father had given him a home. It was a welcoming home with many servants. The son had been well brought up and provided for and cared for. He had everything he needed. And yet he wanted more. Isn't that us? We don't have enough. We want to be the one that has everything. And yet everything that was needful was given to him. How like the Pharisees. Do you see the Pharisee in your heart tonight? You see the Pharisee that says, I deserve, I'm better, that looks down and sees others and thinks they don't deserve. Just think for one minute about Jonah. Don't know whether this has ever occurred to you before, but when the Lord called Jonah to go to Nineveh, Jonah didn't want to go, because he knew the Lord's heart was to save a great number in the city. In fact, the whole city. His reluctance to go. Do you know that's what the Pharisees hated? Gentiles? Dogs? The outsiders? Those of a different race, not the pure race. And they wouldn't have it that Christ receives all who come to him. He receives older brothers and younger brothers. He receives all that will surrender their pride, all that will acknowledge that deep down they are the worst of sinners. That's what the Apostle Paul said. The one who thought he kept every law, but he knew deep down he was the worst of sinners. We need to come and accept that we need grace and mercy. All the son had to do was to go into his father and to accept that both the brothers were sinners and both needed grace and mercy. And he needed to accept that he needed heart surgery, a new heart, that bitterness, that anger, that jealousy, that covetousness needed to be taken far, far away out of his heart. How unkind, how hostile the older brother was. What a picture of us. He would not go in. Is there somebody tonight? Chapel goer? For so many years you've lost count. Maybe you were born in a chapel. Maybe you went to Sunday school from before you can remember. And actually you're more like the older brother. Outwardly, there doesn't seem to be anything amiss. But inwardly, your heart is far, far from God. How ungrateful at all that God has given you. How ungrateful that you've had an upbringing that many would transfer their lives into if they could. But look at the younger brother. Don't have jealousy. Have the heart of the Father that goes out and pleads and welcomes and entreats and longs that both his sons would come home would come home that night, that wouldn't stay on the outside, that wouldn't remain angry, but would go in. Verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in. Go in tonight. Go to Christ. Go to him. Leave your pride, leave your anger, leave your jealousy behind. And you know your Father has already come out to you before you've even gone in. Go to Christ tonight, who entreats every heart. He goes out to the hill for the younger son, and he goes out to the hill for the older son, and he goes to the hill of Calvary so that all his children, the lost sheep of Israel, can be gathered in. 90 and 9, 10 to 1, 2 to 1. He comes seeking all tonight. Go to him. Let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, we see the heart of Christ depicted in this perfect Father, this Father who had such love for both the sons that he came out and pleaded that they would come and come in, even that very day. Lord, may we hear the voice of Jesus gently pleading with our hearts, and may we go into Christ tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.